been moving forward, give you some things to pray about. And then also something I thought about this past week is I know I've never been here with my whole family. So I got a feeling most people here don't even really know like who all my kids are. So I did kind of want to introduce who they are, even though, you know, you can't see them or whatever, but just so that you can keep them in your prayers too. My oldest daughter actually lives really close by. She's in Elbridge. Her husband's the associate pastor there at Calvary Bible Baptist. And he's actually going to be going with me and Brother Kirk to JFK tomorrow because he's a school teacher during the week and tomorrow's a holiday. So he's going to go with us. My next daughter, Jessica, she lives down in Louisiana. She's attending a good church down there and working a couple jobs, trying to get started in life. Already has two kids. Alora has one. Then my next daughter, Anna, just moved into my house up in Black River, and she's helping up at Governor Bible Baptist with her husband, who's taken over song leading and some of the Sunday school duties there. And they're very involved in the ministry there and looking to just get trained up and doing ministry to eventually go into full-time ministry themselves, praying for how God will use them. And then my son, George, is away at Golden State Baptist Bible College. Oh, she also has one child. So I have four grandchildren. Lydia is the, oh no, Edward's the oldest, then Lydia, or no, Lydia, then Edward, then Toby, and then little Corey. And then, of course, everybody here knows Christina because she has came with me several times. She is now back in the States. She's looking to possibly do some college. And she just really needs some prayer for direction for what the Lord would have her do, whether it's go back to India and work in the ministry or stay in the U.S. and go down another path. She's saved. She's well established in the Word. And one thing I was telling somebody the other night is even my kids that sometimes make decisions I wouldn't make, at least they're making better overall decisions than I was at the same age. So I can't complain. So God has blessed me, even though I wasn't necessarily the best parent, as my kids could tell you. some of them would. And that's the situation with the kids. Now, Carrie was already supposed to be teaching English in a couple different places in India while I was gone, but she went to go there and do some vacation Bible school first and then start teaching. And right as she got there, she got to do one vacation Bible school, and then people started shooting at each other and blowing stuff up. So she went back to where we live in India, and she stayed there since. And she's one of the villages we're very close to there, the village of Latan, has invited her back to do some English instruction at their school. I think teaching the teachers how to teach English, it might be something like that. And she was supposed to be there at the end of this month. They said sometime before the 25th. And I said, well, I really don't want you going back to that state without me. I want to go with you at least the first couple times again, just because it had been good and then wasn't. So I'm like, I want to get the feel for it again. I don't want you in there alone. And so we're going to go as soon as I land. I'll get like 1 or 2 days in Siliguri, and then on a train, well, loading my bike and me on a train and carry on the train. Then she'll take a taxi into Manipur, and I'll ride my bike into Manipur. And that way we have some transportation with us. But and she'll be primarily doing English, but I know the second I set foot in that area, I'll probably end up with 3-4 different churches to go speak at. So just pray for that, because I know some pastors that are like that close to truly becoming Baptist pastors. they already say they are. But the thing is to be Baptist, you have to believe in individual soul liberty. And, you know, everything there is controlled by a higher power that's not God. So therefore, that's not a Baptist church. And I would say in my opinion, but it's the Bible's opinion, right? Because Baptist doctrine is the doctrine of the Bible. So if they're not following that, then there's a problem. So just keep that trip in your prayers. And then in March is the next big thing that we'll have going on, and that will be our Church Planters Conference, which Pastor Fenton's coming to, and him and his wife will be there for either at the conference, or Kathy may stay back with Carrie and help out with the deaf ministry and see some of the more of the ministry in Siliguri, all depending upon weather and health. And because it is an adjustment sometimes landing in India. Some people just immediately do better. My wife was one of those. Like, her allergies went almost away. Things that have been plaguing her for a long time, she just adjusted and did better in India. Other people get there and they're sick the whole time they're there. They can't handle the air. They can't handle, you know. So it all depends upon the person. A good friend of mine that was a missionary there, that's why he was only there a year. He got so sick that it was leave India or you're probably going to die in India. So he came back to the States. So be praying for that meeting. And then we're looking at June, me and Pastor Bimmel more than likely, doing a adventure motorcycle ride up into Jammu, Kashmir, which could end up being very adventurous depending upon how things are going at the time. As long as it's open, we're going to go up, just get a lay of the land, try to find hopefully a like-minded church is the hope, that we'll find one like-minded church. So we'll have a place to kind of base out of to reach people in that area and try to get out and find some of the nomadic tribes and make a connection there. So sometime in the next 2 years, I can go up there and spend a spring and summer in the mountains with them at their high grazing areas where nobody will interfere with what I'm trying to do. Because they're left alone when they're in the mountains. And it's, and then we're not coming back till June 2021. I talked to the VA. They're going to let me go 18 months with no appointments, without cutting off my benefits. So then I'll be coming back when it's not doing this outside. Because I'm already tired of it. And so, you know, I like being in India where I can see the snow on the mountains when I want to, but I don't ever have to go in it. So I think that's really all we have planned out. That when we come back, we're also going to be, it's going to be a long visit for my wife, the longest she's done back in the States. We're going to try to spend a month up in the Pacific Northwest where I'm from, where we know some people, do a couple of vacation Bible schools, including one that focuses on bringing kids off one of the Indian reservations. The school I grew up in, I was the minority. It was 80% Native American. Forgot we're not supposed to call them Indians in America, even though all the ones I know call themselves Indians. But, and so that will be, you know, we'll go there and we'll go here and then do, hopefully expand some churches and get a little bit more support. And because I know the way the things are moving in India, we're gonna need more support very soon just to keep things moving with the deaf ministry and with church planting. I mean, we already have 3 church planters out of our church, and we've been there 2 years. So, you know, by next year, hopefully we'll have 6, you know. And then that would be, you know, just things are growing. Update on that. Brother Angelus is moving to Hamalan instead of the other place in Myanmar, but he's moving to Hamalan and he's doing that in February. So he'll be living where he's set planting his church. Robin has already moved where he's planting the church. He needs to buy a tent to live in. He's single. He's just planting the church to provide it to another pastor unless he gets married while he's there. And then the internet is turned back on where Murmu is. His internet was shut off because of the unrest in West Bengal. And he actually broke ground while the internet was off. We didn't know it. Me and Pastor Bimmel didn't know it. But he broke ground for where he's planting his church there in those 3 villages he provides services for. So, well, now that I've gone through all that, luckily I got as much time as I want. We'll get started on the actual service. I'm going to talk about, this came into my mind when I was dealing with some of my Nepali friends, because they were very caught up in the good things we're doing. working with the deaf, teaching them to sew, providing medical care for young children. Those are things we do. I don't really concentrate on it when I'm talking in churches. But there's a lot of people without any health care. And we got a local doctor that's a friend, and he works with us on just seeing all the school children. So we take the school children from the school that we provide, and we take them over there and get them checkups. We have a dentist that takes care of the deaf girl's teeth, and we're working with him on that. Just things like that. And they're like, oh, these are all good things. But getting them to understand that that's not the main point. Because to them, it's kind of like they have the question, well, why preach Christ? You're already doing good things, but why preach Christ? Well, that's the point. And if you could turn to Mark chapter 16, and this is a common scripture. Most of you have heard it a million times. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. So Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, there it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would just speak to our hearts today, Lord. Lord, please just guide your word in each and every one of us, Lord. Allow the Spirit to be in control of this service. Allow the cares of this world to kind of just drift away. Allow us to not be concerned about finances and all these worries that we constantly have. Maybe even some bad things happened today on the way in and distracted our minds. Let us, Lord, get focused on you. Let this be a time where we learn what you would have us learn, and let it change our lives in some way, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as a earthly way of thinking, as we were talking about in Sunday school, you're constantly surrounded by that, right? There's this earthly way of thinking. The earthly way of thinking is you do good because it's good, right? Because you want people to see you as a good person. Thank the Lord I got saved, because I never wanted the people to see me as a good person. I didn't have that problem. So I'm just being honest. I was not a good kid, but most people do want to be accepted by their peers and the people around them, and they want to be seen as a good person. Well, the problem with that is that's solely of the flesh. Because sometimes what the world sees as good isn't good. Having a nice car can be good. For some people, though, that's a big problem. They desire that car so much that they're like, well, they go in and tell their boss, well, I'll go ahead and work Wednesday night even though I originally wasn't, because I need extra money to pay my car payment now. And I have a car payment, so I'm not saying, car payments are the ultimate evil. It's just, where's our priority?
Right.
Is it the things of this world? So when you're doing good things, people think, well, that's enough. But that's not what it's about. As a Christian, Christ asks that we preach to everyone the gospel. Gospel means good news. What is the gospel? In Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it says, "Grace be to you, peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel not that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." See, what they described there, that's the gospel of Christ. But it's so easy to get called on to another gospel. The gospel of works. The gospel of, I even had somebody tell me once, "Oh, you must have did a lot of bad things." I'm like, "What?" I mean, I did, but that's not the point. Like, why do you say that? Well, because you're going to India. So, like, they're like, yeah, you had to really mess up to think you need to go to India to get to heaven. No, that's not how it works. I'm going there to deliver the gospel. As Christians, that's our job. But they had another gospel. They were Catholic. You know, they had another gospel. Not the true gospel. So Jesus is our Lord and Savior who died for us, and this is the gospel, but why is it so important? You know, we're going to look at some scripture first and to see who he is and look at some of these things. Because there's people going around now saying the Bible doesn't claim Jesus is God. I don't know if any of you have heard that, but if you turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, I think we can see that it's very clear that Christ is God. You know, in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So you have the Word, and the Word was with God and was God, right? So then we go forward and we look at verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word was made flesh. And He's full of grace and truth. And then in verse 17 it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So it's very clear just in the very first chapter of John, Jesus Christ is the Word of God and the Word of God is God. So I don't see how anyone can ever draw this conclusion that Jesus was not God. The Bible's very clear, but it's this desire that they don't want to believe in a humble God. A God that was willing to humble Himself to become a man and die for us. They want to believe in a distant God that doesn't understand us, that they can fool. Because Jesus, you can't fool Jesus, but He knows how you think. He had a human mind. You know, He was perfect in it, right? He was, and we're not, but He still understands. He knows the things you see, the things you deal with. You know, Jesus is the Creator God. He spoke the world into existence in Genesis 1. You know, this is something I missed out on for a lot of my time as a Christian because, like I've mentioned, I think here before, a lot of the churches I went to never went back to the Old Testament. So I never really looked. You know, I had read Genesis, but nobody ever preached to me from Genesis. And I never really looked at that, how God spoke the creation into existence. The Word of God. Jesus Christ. So God became flesh to save man. If you just turn a little bit over there in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For those, maybe some younger people here or people that are newer to church, whosoever is always important. A lot of churches have gone astray because they leave out the whosoever. So you hear those words, just really pay attention. "And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." You know, so many people, you know, and I even have some relatives that are this way, "I can't believe in a God that would send people to hell." Yeah. Well, He does, but He doesn't. Because you make the choice. He didn't tell you had to go to hell, right? That's the problem with some man-made doctrines, right? Is they make it to where God is sending you to hell. No, you chose hell over God.
That's right.
You had the choice, you know. But the first step there is he didn't come to condemn the world, but that he might save. So what are we getting saved from? That's the biggest problem, is we don't understand that there's a consequence. We don't truly follow that we need to be saved. You know, and this is, once again, this is why I'm glad I wasn't a good kid. Because I figured it out. I'm like, I need to be saved because I know I'm not good. You know, I was a youth leader on several occasions. And I tell you what, I always prayed extra for good kids. Because it's sometimes so hard for them to understand that they need Christ. Because they're just such a good kid. You know, and you're glad they're good. I mean, I don't want to make the mistakes I made. You know, but it's so hard for them to understand when you get to stuff like Romans 6:23, you know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, they understand that Jesus is God maybe even, but sometimes they don't understand that wage part. They don't understand the sin part because we always have a tendency to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, right? Which the Bible calls foolishness, right? When I look at myself and I say, oh, I must be an outstanding preacher because, you know, this guy, other guy, you know, he didn't get near as many amens as I got or whatever. You know, that's just foolishness, right? You know, because half the time, you know, people are just trying to encourage you. They're like, oh, this guy isn't doing too good. I need to give him a couple extra amens and help him out. You know, you have to be careful because, you know, even in jail, you know, I've done a lot of jail ministry because, as I tell pastor, I'm like, those are my people, you know. That's like the type of people I'm from. And so, you know, I go in there and I'm talking to them, and you'll sit down to do some one-on-one counseling, and they always want to tell you how bad somebody else is. That doesn't matter. You have a wage you have to pay for what you've done. You know, and they're, even though they're in there paying it in the fleshly sense, they can't get the spiritual sense. They can't understand that God someday, if you don't accept Christ, someday God's going to call to account what you did. You know, because you've accepted Christ, Jesus paid it. You know, that's what he came here to do. So sin requires punishment, but thanks to Christ, we don't have to pay the punishment. You know, if you look at Romans 3, turn back to Romans 3, verses 20 to 26. You know, we see this again. And I really like this section. For years, because I was trained to just go to Romans 3:23, I didn't pay enough attention to what was around it. I don't know if anybody else has ever had that problem. You get trained to go to specific verses and you stop paying attention to what's around the verses. But there in Romans 3:20-26, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So, I want to start with this concept. You know, we know there's a right and wrong. We know there's a law. And that is why, that sole purpose of that is so that we know that we're not justified. That's all the law can do for you. The law just shows you that you're not right. You know, because even the best of people, there's going to be times where you have bad thoughts. There's going to be times where you've said something to usually a sibling or somebody like that. You know, usually the really kids that I've thought were really good kids, if you talk to their siblings, you find out how they're not. You know, I mean, that's normally how it works. You know, but, you know, so that's the purpose of the law. You know, and now as we go on in verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's just saying there's no difference between any of us. We all have sin, and the righteousness of God can only be seen through faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say accept these cases. Because that's a common teaching nowadays. Yes, the righteousness of you know, faith in Jesus provides righteousness, unless you're born in this time or that. No. Faith always provides the righteousness. Even if you didn't know Jesus' name, you knew that God was going to save you. Jesus is God. You know, and in times past. You know, so it was that faith that made the difference. Because we're all sin and we all come short. You know, you read some of the great men of God in the Bible even. And every one of them, you can find something where you're like, oh man, I can't believe he did that. But that's because they have flesh just like us.
Yeah.
If they took those parts out, then we'd all think we had to be perfect. You know, verse 24 goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, if you believe in Jesus, right, if you accept Jesus, accept that his blood paid your price, that when he went to the cross, he died on the cross, was in the tomb, and raised again to come back for us once, someday, right, that was freely given by his grace, then his blood paid the debt, and he becomes our justifier. He's the one standing there saying, they are free. You know, we have an accuser, and this isn't in my notes. I remember it's in Revelations, but I can't remember where. But it states that we have an accuser that comes before God. That is Satan. And he accuses us day and night. But we also have a justifier. You know, we are justified, right? Just as if I never sinned. So all those sins that I've committed in my life were put on Jesus' account. Because he was the only one that could pay it. Only his blood would do. And so, to further look at how this works, let's look at Romans 10. And I know a lot of this is stuff that you're familiar with, but it's very important that we understand when we talk about missions that this is what missions is getting the people to understand this. And that's why I wanted to start out with Jesus being God, because in the Hindu culture, they just want to make him one of the gods. My friend Daya Kanal that got saved up at Governor this last time I was up there, the last time I was home, he was at the point where he's like, well, yeah, I'm Christian and Hindu. Like, no, brother, you can't be both. So right now you're still Hindu. I understand. You appreciate Jesus. You appreciate what he did, but you're not understanding. Because you can't just put him up with the others. You know, and in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, it says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth, thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's, once again, whosoever. And it says, you know, you believe in your heart, you speak it with your mouth. Now when it says that, a lot of people take that, well, if, you know, you don't, if they're not saying something out loud, they're not saved. It's not the saying out loud. It's the, you gotta look at the next verse. It shows that you're not ashamed. If you're saved, you're not gonna be ashamed. No one's, if you were out there drowning in the river and somebody jumped in the river and pulled you out of the river, you would not be ashamed to tell people, yeah, this man saved my life. So if you're truly saved, right, you've accepted it in your heart, not just in your brain, but accepted it in your heart, you're gonna be willing to tell others, Jesus Christ is my Savior. You know, it's not about work salvation. It's about works is going to be provided by your salvation. You know, and this is a fundamental thing that we have to accept it in our heart. You know, my old pastor, he was a preacher's kid. You know, I do believe Pastor Fenton here helped his dad once a little bit in Palmyra when he was getting settled up there. And even his dad will tell you, he knew when he sent him away to Bible college he wasn't saved. He didn't get saved till he was in his 20s. I knew what he grew up under. I know that he knew who Jesus was. He knew the gospel. He could probably, even without being saved, give the plan of salvation better than I can because of how he was raised. But he still wasn't saved because it hadn't made it from here to here. You know, and when that happens, you know, it's just so simple. You suddenly understand that it really was just that simple all the time. But you see, we can't understand it fully intellectually because, once again, we have that fleshly, we have those fleshly eyes. We see the world through fleshly eyes. That fleshly mind, that fleshly knowledge is at war with God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 16 here. Romans chapter 8. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, we had this fleshly mind that couldn't accept it. Then there was a point where we understood, and by faith we accepted Jesus Christ, right? His grace saved us through faith. But the first step is always putting away that fleshly mind and allowing the Spirit to work. To stop hardening your heart. And just allow the Spirit of God to move you. And then, once that's happened, right, we need to keep that Spirit, otherwise we'll go back into bondage of fear. You know, this has happened to me several times in my life. You know, just where I was just allowing the worries and cares of this world. I was allowing thoughts of past things to overwhelm me to where I couldn't do the work of God because I was just so caught up in everything in my past. I was just beating myself up, you know, and even things that weren't sin, you know, to give an example. One thing that Satan managed to bring in my mind, and I truly believe it was his influences bringing these things out into my mind, not in control of me, but just, you know, putting me in the circumstances where it came to mind was, when I was in Iraq, there was a couple incidences where I had to use my weapon. You know, and it came into my mind that those people that I killed that day, they went straight to hell. I didn't sin. I was obeying the lawful orders of the people over me. That is not sin. If that war was wrong, George Bush and Congress and all of them will pay for it. That's not my concern. But I allowed that spirit of fear and bondage to come back into my life. I allowed that flesh, right? Even Paul said, this is what I want to do, but my flesh forces me to do this. You know, there's that's why this book is so important. Because what I discovered in that point in time, I began to address it with my pastor. And he said, hey, why don't you try this? Do you normally listen to stuff on your radio when you're driving? I said, well, yeah, that or CDs or something. And he said, well, instead of that, I have this whole collection of preaching CDs here. Why don't you take those? And every time you're in your car, just listen to preaching. Then when you get up every morning, read your Bible and pray. Just start doing that and see what happens. You know, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to make the adjustment. You know, the flesh fought it, you know. But what I found is, in a relatively short period of time, those problems were going away. You know, and the flesh is still there. There's still days where I'm like, you know, oh, what about this? And then, but it's so much easier to put down when you spend so much more time in the Spirit. When you spend time with the Word, you spend time listening to preaching instead of spending time listening to talk radio getting angry. I mean, I'm one of those guys. Like, I used to listen to, you know, I still do every once in a while, but I realize, okay, listen to about half hour and then listen to something else. Otherwise, you're going to become that angry person again because you're just filling yourself full of worldly knowledge. And it's going to affect your mind. And the world's knowledge is an enemy of God. You know, we know that by the Scripture. So I preach Christ because I'm a Christian, and like Christ, I don't want to see anyone perish. You know, this is the key thing. You know, our goal is to be like Christ. If you're like Christ, you don't want to see anyone perish. You know, I'm not going to go into details, but my father is currently in prison. Part of why I went back to Washington State is my son felt he needed to go visit him, and I wanted to be there for him when he got done in case he needed to talk to me. I couldn't go in because then I might very well end up in prison myself. Because that relationship is not good. And so, you know, it's one of those things I got to learn to get past. But I wanted to be there for my son. And I do agree with my son. I don't want to see him, my father perish. I don't want to see him go to hell. And that's part of what my anger is. I want him to realize how wrong he is, repent and turn towards the Lord. But you can't beat that into somebody. You know, I mean, if we could, you know, I'd still be training Muay Thai and everything every day. You know, I mean, that would be a lot easier. You know, just beat them and then they're saved. You know, but it doesn't work that way. You know, and we shouldn't desire to see anyone perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, isn't it great that the Lord gives us more time?
Yeah.
Isn't it great that He doesn't just strike you down the first time that you do something bad? You know? I mean, He would be justified if the day and moment that you realize what you're doing is wrong and you still choose to do it, He'd be justified if you died that day.
That's right.
You made the decision. But instead, He's patient with us. He's long-suffering. You know, I mean, He hasn't came back today because there's still people He wants to see get saved. You know, it's just so amazing to me that people can't see it. They only want to blame Him for the bad things. Well, most of the bad things are caused by us. You know, I mean, just our sinful nature. That's where most of the world's bad comes from. I believe that there are other spiritual powers out there. I'm not saying there's not. But I don't believe in this day and age they have to be that active. We're just willing to do it. I mean, they don't have to influence people. They just go ahead and do it. So, you know, they don't got to waste their time. They can be over here messing with something else because people are just so willing to sin. But that's why we should be out there preaching to them so that they don't perish. So that we can reach them with Christ. Because it's every one of our job, no matter what our paying job is, it's all of our job to preach Christ. So that none may perish. I'm going to go ahead and pray and then I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor. Dear Lord, I just thank You for this time. Lord, I thank You for just Your patience. I thank You for being long-suffering, Lord, for giving us so many opportunities to accept You.